The purgatory mystic Maria Sima, when you look up in her book, Get Us Out of Here, and you specifically look up about the Antichrist, has some very disturbing and unsettling things to say about this particular topic. Now, I started looking this up and thinking about it because when I was on Facebook the other day, I saw a quote from a recently deceased, I believe, Orthodox saint. Listen to what he says. In the years of the Antichrist, people will expect salvation from space. This will be the devil's greatest trick. Humanity will seek help from the aliens, not knowing that they are actually demons. Now, when you look up a little bit more about this saint, Saint Gabriel Urgebadze, I probably pronounced that wrong, he actually dies on November 2nd, the Feast of All Souls, like the great feast for those that love praying for the souls in purgatory. And this is happening right now because the government is apparently declassifying all types of documents, talking about aliens, and we know from lots of Catholic influencers and exorcists that they are, in fact, as he says, demons. Now let's listen to what Maria Sima says about the Antichrist. Now this is an interview format book, and she's asked the question, is the idea of an Antichrist true? And she says, yes, I'm afraid it is. Some visionaries other than the ones in Medjugorje say that the Antichrist is already alive today. He will come as a great financial wizard, have a very powerful charisma about him, and will also be considered a great healer and miracle worker. Huge numbers of people will fall for him when, in fact, his will be the strongest manifestation of Satan ever. People must pray incessantly not to be fooled by Satan and his unlimited talent to disguise himself in any form that pleases his arrogance. Now, I read that book many years ago. I think I first read it in 2003. And when I read that, I just thought about he's alive today. So that book apparently was published in 2002. I was trying to see if there was an earlier edition. So he could have been born at that time or born a few years earlier, meaning he could currently be in his 20s. He could currently be in his 30s or 40s. Now, for instance, to show that this type of personages is true, one possible person, I'm not saying that he is, but it's just an interesting idea that people have put out, is in fact the world's biggest YouTuber, whose name happens to be Mr. Beast. He was born in 1998, and he is all of those traits, a great financial wizard. He's incredibly wealthy. He is a type of healer and miracle worker. He makes many videos about healing people of the blind, helping people to walk. Now, what he's doing is he's taking all of his money and helping people in poor countries and giving them medical assistance that they otherwise wouldn't be given. But he proves the case that this could be true. There really could be a type of person like this. Now, most likely it is the case that the Antichrist will mirror in many ways aspects of Christ's life. In other words, that he will come out on the scene when he's 30, that he will die 3 years later, all these types of details of the life of Christ in order to be like a reverse or Antichrist, as the name implies, and to mock these things of Jesus's life. Now, I want to unpack this whole idea of a financial wizard, and then at the end of the video, I want to talk about what are we to do. Now, if you read in the book of Revelation, chapters 13, verse 17, and many people have commented on this, it says the following. It forced all people, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. Now, this is talking about the beast, to be given a stamped image on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that no one could buy or sell except the one who had the stamped image of the beast's name or the number that stood for its name. There's another well-known financial YouTuber, Andre Jick, who makes many good YouTube videos about financial concerns that's worth watching, and I really enjoy watching him. And he actually makes a video, although I don't know if he's Catholic or Christian, unpacking this idea, talking about that everything that you need to fulfill this type of prophecy is ready right now. Now, he says that there are three pillars necessary. The first one is a type of universal identification form or real ID. Now, even Christine Watkins warns about this. The reason why this is being made is for safety concerns, because in a world where AI rules and you could use AI to impersonate anyone, you need to have some sort of form of ID, they tell us, to prove that you are a real human. Now, Real ID takes some sort of biometric from you to prove that it is you, and it is electronic. Now, since it's electronic, it can be accessed from all over the world, and all types of information can be tied to that type of identification. The second thing that he says that's needed for this to happen is some sort of programmable currency, such as Bitcoin, which we already have. A type of currency that you can control from a computer location anywhere in the world. Cash does not fulfill this, nor does credit card, because you can't program that money. Whereas if the currency is electronic, then you can tie it electronically to your real ID. And Bitcoin is increasing in importance, especially with the situation happening in the Iran war. Now, the third thing that you need, he says, is a system where all of this can be placed, because this is such a vast amount of information that you have to be able to control it from one place in order for one person to oversee the entire thing. Now, he says that this is being done right now with a company called Palantir. Now, interestingly enough, they take the name from the Lord of the Rings in what the elves, the Palantir stone, a stone that the elves made that's an all-seeing stone. Through it, you can see all over their world. And in that story, what ends up happening when they create this is, of course, evil gets it, misuses it, and uses it in his plan to take over the world. So it's kind of ironic that they name it that. So then he concludes that although he doesn't know that the mark of the beast is going to happen anytime soon, all of the technological things for that to happen are here right now. So then this leaves us with the question of, if the Antichrist is alive today, and if this prophecy of the mark of the beast can be fulfilled right now with our current technology, what on earth are we to do? Well, Maria Sima gives us a great big hint to pray unceasingly so that we not be deceived and we can see clearly. But we should also do something that's sort of prophesied in the Lord of the Rings, and when any great big enemy comes out, is to build an army. Now, in the Lord of the Rings, here's what happens. In the final battle, they are greatly outmatched by the forces of evil. Now, this is in the movie and in the book, The Return of the King. So then Aragorn, who is a Christ-like figure, tries to solve this problem. What are we going to do? How are we going to face these forces that are greatly outnumbering us? So then what he does is he takes a sword that is a symbol of his authority. It was previously broken, then it's reforged, so now it's able to be used again. And he goes to a cave where there are dead soldiers. Now, these soldiers had previously made a promise to the king to serve him. They failed in that, and then they were condemned to stay there until a future king released them. This is obviously a purgatory image. He gets that dead army and goes and conquers that battle. That the souls in purgatory are in fact an army, the following story proves. Listen to this. What's interesting about this story is it's one of my favorites, and I found it about 4 years ago, and then I could not find it for the last 2 years. And last night I was praying, and the Holy Spirit showed me how to find it. This is from Stories About Purgatory. It's a great book. Listen to this. Among the many instances of pious munificence which the life of Eusebius, Duke of Sardinia, presents, it is recorded that he devoted the revenues of one of his richest cities to the benefit of the suffering souls in purgatory. But his powerful neighbor, the King of Sicily, panting for military glory and even more eager for plunder, declared war against him, and appearing unexpectedly before this very city with a formidable army, made himself master of it. This loss was more keenly felt by Eusebius than would have been the loss of half his dukedom. Determined, therefore, on defending his rights, he assembled his troops without delay. Notwithstanding his great inferiority in point of numbers, he boldly marched against the usurper, relying on the hope that the justice of his cause would supply for the inequality. On the day of battle, while both sides were preparing for the attack, it was announced to Eusebius that besides that of his rival, another army was descried approaching, whose banners and uniform were completely white. This unforeseen event at first disconcerted him, and suspending his preparations, he sent forward two heralds on horseback to demand of the newcomers whether they were friends or enemies. But lo, from the ranks of the unknown army, four cavaliers advanced and announced that they belonged to the heavenly host and were come to recover the city of suffrage. The allies then united and advanced against the common enemy, losing courage at seeing himself opposed by two armies, and having learned whence the new auxiliaries had come, the king of Sicily at once sued for peace, offering to restore the conquered city and to make, moreover, twofold compensation for the injury he had done. These terms were accepted, and when Eusebius turned to thank his supernatural allies, the chief explained to him that their ranks were exclusively composed of those who had been freed from purgatory through his means, and that they watched unceasingly over his welfare. The good duke took occasion from this to become more than ever devoted to the souls in purgatory, whose powerful protection he experienced to the last. Now, if that is not an amazing purgatory story, you know, I don't know how to convince you. Now, to raise an army from the souls in purgatory is, in fact, one of the very missions of this channel, to convince the world that purgatory exists, to make viral videos about purgatory, and to make an army from the souls in purgatory. That this is its mission is a case even revealed by my name, Alvaro, which comes from the old German Elvar, which means elf army. So literally, it's what God made me for. Therefore, the Antichrist is alive and he is building an army. We should do the same. We should pray for the souls in purgatory to release as many as possible right now so that we can have an army in heaven larger than ever whenever it is that this battle happens. We should not be afraid. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.